Pentecost, and the word Pentecost means 50 days after Easter. I think we might need a little more lights. Then, if you could try a different setting. Do I look that bad? Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days after Easter. As you might remember, actually, can we have more? Just leave the lights on normal. Let's just leave the lights. Nobody fall asleep. Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, Jesus was crucified. He rose from the dead. And then he appeared to his disciples, and he appeared many times. One of those days we celebrated a week ago Thursday was when he was with his disciples just before he ascended to heaven. And that's called Ascension Day. And he said, he preached about in that time, he was with his disciples, that the Holy Spirit would be coming down. And it's something he hinted at throughout his ministry, as we heard in our gospel reading. So I'm just going to take us through a few places in the gospels, mainly where Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present with Jesus and moving in the world. Just so we can get to know this part of the Trinity better. It's not a part of God that we really know much about or understand, and I think we can't fully understand it. But let's just get to know the Holy Spirit a little better through some of what the Bible tells us. As you might remember, in the very beginning, in Genesis 1, when God was creating the world, the Spirit moved over the face of the waters, and God created the heavens and the earth. So all the way back to the beginning of time, the Spirit was present. And in John's Gospel, in the first chapter, it talks about how the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Since the beginning, Jesus was also present in creation. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all doing that work together. In Luke chapter 1, we hear about the coming birth of John the Baptist. And it tells us that even before his birth, John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the Spirit and power of Elijah will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then later in Luke 1, the angel comes to Mary to tell her that she will bear the Son of God. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and that was John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. The Spirit comes to these two women, and it brings forth leaders for the church, for John the Baptist to prepare the way for God's Son. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist has grown. He is doing what the Holy Spirit foretold. He is preparing the way for Jesus. And he's out in the wilderness baptizing people. And he tells them about what is coming, that Jesus is coming. And he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that is what we saw at Jesus' own baptism later in Matthew chapter 3. When he had been baptized, that Spirit of God came down, it tells us, in the form of a, do you remember? Dove, right. And it landed on above him, and we hear that voice from heaven, God's voice, saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And we too believe that when we are baptized, when any child comes to this font, or any font, to be baptized, that we also receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, that helps to grow in us, as Aim Ruth talked about in the children's message, that gift of faith. The Spirit comes to us through our baptisms and helps us to learn and grow about who God is and in faith in the world. Unfortunately for Jesus, after his baptism, he didn't get to go have cake and have a party. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus, after he is baptized, begins a real trial in his life. But the Spirit of God is with him, sustaining him through those 40 days and nights in the wilderness. Right after he comes out of the wilderness, he begins his work preaching and teaching, telling people about God and God's love. And he goes to back to Galilee, and he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. And he goes to his home church, and as many of you have come back today, it's good to see a lot of our returning college members and Meg Boren, our missionary, is back today. He comes back home, but he is not greeted happily as you are. He stands up to read from the prophet Isaiah in the temple, and this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus lets them know that he has the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about, but he is not received well. He's run out of town because people can't believe that this could be true. Throughout the rest of the Gospels, the Spirit is on the move. It talks about the Spirit being with somebody. It talks about the Spirit being present when demons are driven out. In many cases, the Spirit is with people and helping Jesus to do God's work. Then, at the end of the Gospels, we hear about the Spirit again at Jesus' death. In both Matthew and Luke, it talks about when Jesus died, it says he gave up his spirit. Or in Luke's gospel, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he died. But as we know, that's not the end of the story. God raised Jesus again. He beat the power of sin and death. And he appeared to his disciples many times, bringing them peace and assurance of the Spirit. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And those words we still use today, those very words that Jesus told us to use anytime somebody is baptized. As you heard in today's reading from Acts, the Holy Spirit does come just as Jesus said. He had given them instructions that they would wait in the city until the Holy Spirit came down, and then they would receive God's power. And they did. That Holy Spirit comes 50 days from Easter in wind and fire, and their lives and the world are never the same again. And you might remember Peter, the Jesus' disciple. He has not always been the sharpest crayon in the box. But Peter is the one who gets up and starts preaching. He gives that very first sermon about Jesus ever, because that Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is with him. God works through the Spirit to spread the good news of Jesus, the words of salvation, forgiveness, and new life. And those things come through the Spirit's work in our world. The Holy Spirit is very active throughout the book of Acts, filling people with faith and building up the church. There are a couple other beloved verses about the Spirit that I want to lift up too. And one is from our reading from Romans 8, which has a lot of great things to say about the Holy Spirit. If you want to get to know the Spirit, I really recommend reading Romans chapter 8 too. It says the Spirit gives us life, it makes us children of God. But I love those verses that tell us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit helps us pray, even when we have no words. And that is something that I just love about the Holy Spirit, and something I rely on a lot in life, when I just don't even have any words to say. Something I've relied on this week, as I'm sure many of you have, as we've heard about the horrible events of those 12-year-olds in Waukesha. Sometimes all we can say is, Lord, have mercy, or give a sigh or a tear, and the Spirit knows what we are saying. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about how when we live in that Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts, those things that grow in us when we live with God and the Spirit. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are pretty great things, aren't they? We could all use more of those in our lives. But I think we have to remember, too, that the Spirit doesn't always just come to bring us peace. It doesn't always come to solve our problems. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and it kind of creates problems in our lives. Think about it. The Holy Spirit had not come, the disciples could have just gone back to their life as normal, and they kind of already had in a lot of ways, right? They went back to their fishing. They could have just said, man, that was a crazy 3-year ride with Jesus. We had some great adventures, and now it's time to settle down and get back to our work. And that's what some of them did. But once that Spirit showed up, there was no turning back. They couldn't go back to life as normal because they were set on fire and sent out into the world to tell everyone that God had redeemed it through a carpenter's son from Nazareth. Does that sound like a job you would have wanted? It's a big risk to follow that Spirit. It can lead us to do things, and sometimes it can lead us to fail. Just this week, I heard about a megachurch in the South that had their $31.5 million loan called. They felt that God had called them to go out on a limb. Ooh, in stereo. It's the Spirit. She's disturbing us. They felt God had called them to go out on a limb and build a huge church, but they didn't quite get to where they wanted to be. The Spirit can make us do things that seem crazy, and sometimes we fail. But if we're led by the Spirit, if we follow that Spirit, that doesn't mean we'll always win, but it means that we always trust and we always go with God. Look at the cross and think about Jesus. Success doesn't always look like success. Even his disciples were certain that he failed. Victory can be disguised as defeat. Success with the Spirit isn't determined by if we get what we want or hope for, but whether or not we are faithful. The Spirit is our comforter and our disturber. The Spirit is our rest and our peace and our agitator. The Spirit moves us to faith and helps us pray. It comes to us through our baptism and through prayer. And we are never alone because we always have the Holy Spirit with us. Take a moment now to pray, whether with words or with sighs, giving thanks to God for this gift and asking the Spirit to lead and guide you in your life.